now, ladies and gentlemen, for the handful in attendance and the millions listening on the web on skidrow.la, this is Mad Time Radio.
Yes, sir. Skid Row Studios, Mad Time Radio, broadcasting live out of downtown LA. Welcome back. Hey, my name's Crail in the house. I also got my buddy Jonathan. Say what's up, Jonathan.
Hey.
Or John, what are you going to call you?
John.
John. All right, cool. We'll get that mic closer to your boca.
Oh, okay.
Hey, welcome back. Another show, man. We got a couple dudes in here running by. Got a Honus Gracie's in the house. Say what's up, Honus.
What's up, guys?
And I also got a student over there at Honus's, but a CrossFit junkie. He trained you on lifting some tires and throwing them over a car. I don't know what the hell you guys do. Say what's up, Robert Cordero.
What's going on, man?
All right, man. Welcome to the studio, guys.
Thanks, guys.
All right, man. Let's get into this, man. Hey, Honus, thanks for coming by.
Thank you. My pleasure.
I know that you just opened up a gym.
Yep.
Over in good old Westminster.
Yes, it's a new gym. It's been open for, I would say, about 3 months right now.
Okay, so everything's going good over there?
Yeah, everything great. You know, I was a little surprised that how fast the school grow. You know, we got a lot of people there, a lot of good guys, and in 3 months, you know, that's we have a really good group there.
Yeah. Hey, so let me start off by just asking you. Obviously, you're from Brazil, and then maybe you can just give me a little background on. I think I seen somewhere that you started training when you were like 9 or 8 or 2 or 4. How old were you?
Yeah, my first tournament, I was 9 years old. It was okay. Back in 1996. And that's when I really started taking more seriously, taking class every day and training for like competitions, you know, when I was a yellow belt. But I was always involved, you know, since I started walking on the mats. That's how pretty much every Gracie, you know, in the family, it started getting involved, you know. You just play around with your uncles and cousins on the mats. But that's the age I would say I started taking a little bit more serious.
Okay. And then you're a brown belt now, correct?
Yes.
And so who's your teacher?
My teacher, well, right now, my teacher was in my life was, I would say, was my uncle Hillion.
Okay.
Hillion Gracie. He lives in Miami and he shares his time in Miami. Houston has 2 academies, Miami, Houston, Texas. He was my main coach in my life. You know, I used to train a lot with him. I also trained for a couple of years when I was really young with a guy called Zé Beleza in Brazil. He's a really good coach has a lot of kids. But Hillion was, my uncle was definitely my main coach in my life.
Okay. And did you know when you were coming up that you always wanted to be a teacher and have your own gym? Is that like your passion or?
Yeah, since I was a kid, I wanted to be a fighter. You know, I wanted to be involved with jiu-jitsu and compete. And I knew that when I was gonna get old, I was going to teach and everything. That's my passion. And that's something that I want to do for the rest of my life. I want to teach for sure.
Okay. So how do you, obviously you're probably, you got classes every day. You're teaching every day. But how do you go about teaching and still competing and not getting injured?
Yeah, that's not an easy task, you know. When you teach and when you train for competition, especially in today, you know, everybody's like, is getting really professional. In jiu-jitsu, everybody's is an athlete. So it's hard for you to find time to train and at that level and at the same time teach, be able to teach. So I have a good guys, other instructors that help me teach in my academy so I can find more time to train for competitions. Mm. You know, I would say when it's close to a competition, I usually train more, I teach less. And when there's not much competition involved, I spend more time in the academy teaching.
Yeah, because it's definitely very different teaching than training for a competition, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, teaching is my passion. You know? It's something that I like to do. I always like to share my knowledge, everything I know, and teach people how to defend themselves and just, you know, I like to see people getting fit through jiu-jitsu, something fun. But I really love competing, and that's my career. You know, so competing for me is my career. It's my job. I take it very seriously. And it's something that right now, I wouldn't say it's a priority, but right now, because I'm young, it's the time that I have to train hard and compete.
Right.
You know, I know that later on when I will stop competing, I will have all my time for teaching.
Right. Okay. You're probably getting ready for the Worlds that are coming up.
Yeah, the Worlds. I'm training a lot for these Worlds, and actually I'm not teaching at this month right now. You know, I'm staying in San Diego. I'm training at Atos. I'm doing the Atos camp in Andrea Galvão Jiu-Jitsu School in San Diego. There's a lot of good guys there. You know, I'm very grateful to have very good training partners. You know, over there there's about 10 world champions training there on the mat. So
wow.
it's a great training.
Yeah,
couldn't ask for better training partners at
cool.
this time.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So you living out there? Or you driving back and forth?
Yeah, I'm staying there. I have a couple of friends there, so I have a place to stay. So I'm staying there because it's a long drive. You know?
Yeah, the weather's great too. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's great, but yeah, that's too bad that I'm staying there. You know, it's such over there. I usually go there to have fun, to hang out with my friends. But this time, the only thing I'm really doing is a training. So
yeah.
It's too bad that I see all these people going out and having fun. I cannot do that.
Yeah. So obviously with training, and I know we got Robert's in here, and Robert, he's like jiu-jitsu for a while, but I know he does CrossFit. So do you like to incorporate different CrossFit and different kind of trainings like that in your regimen as well?
Oh yeah, definitely. You mean in my training or?
Yeah. Just in, obviously you train jiu-jitsu, and the best way to train for jiu-jitsu is to do jiu-jitsu, but you also need to work on your endurance.
I
and
think
cardio.
It's very important for any athlete. It's very important to do CrossFit or anything that involves like weights and to help you strengthen your core, not just to get strong, but also to avoid injuries. So it's very important. And I do a lot of training. I've done CrossFit a lot in my life. And I do all this kind of training, or just keep trying new things. But definitely I need to, if I don't get my body ready for the training, I won't be able to train as much as I want. So that's something that every guy, every athlete should do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know Atos' team over there is doing a lot of stuff with the Bulgarian bag. You ever done that?
Yeah, actually,
I got one in my trunk. That's why I know.
No, so. It's funny you mentioned that. This week I just tried out my first time. I did a class with the Bulgarian bag. It was very interesting because I've never done before. I've just seen like some YouTube videos, and for the first time I got to try out. So it was a very good exercise, for your core.
Yeah,
it looks easy, but there's a lot of technique involved. Such as CrossFit.
Yeah.
I remember my first time I tried CrossFit. There was I did the first two classes was not just techniques. But the Bulgarian bag, I felt like it works a lot your grip, so which is good for jiu-jitsu. Mm.
Yeah.
Because, I felt like my grips were getting tired way before my cardio or anything else in my body. You know?
Yeah, I have one. I've had one for a long time because I know the guy who made it. But yeah. I've had one for a long time, and it looks easy, but it's so deceiving, especially when you start rotating the bag. And you got to make sure you don't blow your knees out and throw your back. And
no, it's funny. Some exercise, you use your arms. It so looks like you are muscling, like using your arms to rotate the bag, but actually your arms are moving, but are not doing much strength. Is your core, like your legs, which is moving your hip, that is actually creating the force to move the bag.
Yeah, and it's also, you have to keep your core activated so your body doesn't go all over the place.
Yeah, right. So you don't lose your balance. And
yeah. Yeah, so yeah. I mean, like I said, we go outside, I'll show you the one in my car. I got the 55-pound leather one.
So you do practice with the Bulgarian bag?
Yeah, I have one at home.
Let's
I do.
Right now?
Let's go right now.
We'll
knock some doors out. But if it works good on your grips, and
yeah.
I do a lot of grip work too. I do pull ups with I got an old gi and I cut the lapel off.
Yeah, I like doing that too. Yeah. Sometimes I go to the gym and throw my top gi on whatever, like I can hang my gi and so I can do pull ups.
Oh yeah, I think I seen a picture of you doing that.
Yeah, I just posted a picture recently on my Instagram. Yeah.
What else you got, Robert? What do you got what do you got for working core over there?
You know what it is? It's a lot of like with CrossFit. We come out here and we compete or whatever, and a lot of times, jiu-jitsu is great, and you have to go into the camps and just practice, jiu-jitsu or whatnot. But sometimes when you're off those camps, you got to start working on your core. You got to work on your balance. You got to work on how your body actually works. You know, I've seen a lot of times when you're out there. And like the bag, right? You if you don't do the technique correctly, then you're pretty much doing yourself a disservice. Same thing like jiu-jitsu. I mean, you could go on YouTube and figure out how to do an arm bar or whatever, but if you don't know the technique that you do correct, then all of a sudden it's not gonna work, right?
Yeah. Well, I think everything, jiu-jitsu especially, because the technique, I mean, just technique and making sure you get the right leverage and your hips in the right place.
Yeah. And that's key, man. And same thing with CrossFit. That's exactly what it is. It helped me with my jiu-jitsu game because it helped me slow down. Mm. It helped me realize, okay, you know, shrimping, for example. I mean, we do it all the time, but we never really work on perfecting it, if you will, because you're like, it's such an easy movement. Mm-hmm. But man, if you took that extra step to actually kind of figure out how to do that correctly and do it over and over and over and over, you know, your game can improve that much, right?
Right.
With CrossFit, same thing. You're pushing some heavy weight around or a bag. You're throwing this bag around. And if you don't do it right, one, you're going to get injured. If you do it right, then you'll be able to maximize your efficiency with that bag, right? And that's, I mean, how many times have you been on the mat and you're like, man, I need to get out of here, and you're trying to figure out how to do it?
No, nowadays you need CrossFit. You're right. Part of your game, you know?
Yeah.
Because you need the cardio.
You do. I mean, that sort of kind of comes inherently, right? You know? But a lot of times you're out there and you want to maximize that load, right? To move that person off of you. And you're trying to figure out how to do it. And you see a lot of people out there just kind of flailing away or whatever, as opposed to kind of really kind of just relaxing, understanding what you're doing, and then just all of a sudden, bam, you blast, and then that's what you do. And that's, you know, that's what kind of CrossFit kind of comes in.
At least, you think CrossFit came from jiu-jitsu, or I mean, it's kind of like...
No, you know...
Where did CrossFit come from?
From guys in Kentucky trying to move tires.
Yeah. Actually, they're like track...
Hey, we got to get these truck tires off this lot. Yeah.
Okay. No, a glassman back in Santa Cruz, actually, where it kind of came out of.
Oh, okay.
And it just, I mean, it's really just a combination of gymnastic movements, Olympic weightlifting, you know, and then some tire flipping, really kind of going all in there.
And kettlebells. You know what I don't get, man? I see a lot of CrossFit guys, but they're always showing me, hey, look at my hands, are all blistered. Yeah. I'm like, dude, I don't want to do anything that's going to blister my hands.
How many times do you go, look at my ears, look how much cauliflower I have in my ears?
I don't. I just squeeze them. Like,
It's funny, like the cauliflower that was in Brazil in the beginning of the guys start getting cauliflowers and everything. So people, oh, this guy do jiu-jitsu, this guy looks tough, you know. So everyone wanted to look tough. But there was a lot of guys that were actually, when they, after the training, they go home and they get their own geese and they start scrubbing their ears.
Really?
Yeah, to get the cauliflowers. You believe that?
That's pretty funny. Yeah. We heard guys like, they would take their ear and slam the door on it to get the cauliflower.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, I have some cauliflower, but like some people's ears, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, some of it looks really bad on some people.
Yeah, and with CrossFit, that's kind of like the badge of honor, you know, when your hands are all tore up from doing pull-ups or whatever, or kettlebells or whatever. You know, and that's kind of how they, oh, this is what I can do, mm-hmm. which... You know, I like to have my hands well manicured and whatnot. So
me too. I wear gloves. I don't know.
Chalk up.
Chalk up. I don't know.
It's funny. I see that it's changed. You know, when you go like to a gym as a 24 hours or LA Fitness, and you see all these equipments, you don't see much kettlebells and all this other stuff that the CrossFits and this other new exercise are doing today. But it's funny because I noticed that some gyms now are changing. There was this new 24 hours fitness. I went in San Diego, and they had all these new like TRX stuff there, you know, for you to exercise, and they had those ropes and stuff. So I see that every time they start to change and adding all these things to the regular gyms for the standard people, not everyone.
Right. Yeah, I there was a point where I used to just go to the gym and bench press like 305 pounds, like all day, you know. But then you get to a point where, like now, I hardly lift any like weights. I do a lot of body weights and pull ups and push ups, and I mean, I do a lot of heavy rope in my backyard. I've got like real big heavy rope, and you know, just tire out your arms for the fatigue factor. But I do see that a lot now, that the gyms are trying to offer more classes that have different things. And
well, you know, it's just a different style of training, really. And you know, a lot of times, I mean, we all train or whatever, and we pay an academy and whatnot, and so there's money going out there and stuff. And but you know, you can go get a medicine ball, you can go get a rope, you can do pull-ups, you can do push-ups, you can do sit-ups, you can do air squats. I mean, there's so many exercises that you could do literally for free that we don't you know, sometimes we think we should go bench pressed, you know, 300 pounds.
But I mean, look at the popularity of CrossFit, because there's a lot of CrossFit gyms everywhere.
Yeah, there is.
They're popping up everywhere.
They are popping up everywhere, which is, you know, it's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it sort of kind of has to be you know, with the gyms that I belong to, it's more of a family, you know.
And but that's like every gym, right? You go to a gym to belong to a family, yeah, or because you enjoy the same thing. So I'm sure Honus, you've probably seen it with jiu-jitsu. There's a lot of jiu-jitsu gyms, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, and you've probably, the popularity of the sports here in the States is really big.
Yeah.
Right. But so how do you, like, when you were going to open your gym, how did you decide where do you want to open your gym?
You know, it's funny. I actually thought that opening my gym would take a lot of my time, you know, and it really did. I got very busy with the all the process, you know, about all the things I had to do to get ready, set up everything. But I think that opening my gym actually helped my training and really helped my schedule because I own the gym, so I can make my own schedule now. Before, I was teaching someone else's gym, so I had to follow that schedule. I couldn't change it. You know, it wasn't in my hands, that decision. Right. So now that it's on my hands, that decision, I feel like it's actually better. It helped my training. So I feel that my training now is just going to get better and better because of that. Mm. And the reason I decided to open is just because I was tired of following the schedule that and teaching a gym that another person used to own the gym, and the owner of the gym that I was teaching wouldn't do the things that I thought was right things to do at the gym. So a lot of the students were not happy about it. So, and one day I decided, you know what, I want to start my own gym now. So why wait until tomorrow, right?
Yeah, but why'd you pick the location you're in now? Did you look at other areas before? Or?
Yeah, actually,
it seems like San Diego's. I mean, well, you know, San Diego. It's like mini Brazil over there.
Yeah, it's true. It feels like Brazil there.
Yeah.
I was actually going to LA. I found this great location in LA, and I was going to open there. But then one of my students, he found this location Westminster, and he was like, you know, I really don't want you go to LA. You're gonna be too far. And he convinced me, you know, I saw the location, it was a great location. And it was, I don't know, I had a good feeling about it. And then I decided to open there. And I guess I was right because everything's going great.
And it is a great location.
Yeah, and I seen your, even if you go to the website, you want to plug the website for your gym? I know you have a YouTube video on there where you had...
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. The website's gracieoc.com, or you can type graciegymoc.com. It goes to the same website. And... yeah, the website, there's a lot of information there. You know, we also have, we're on Facebook, Gracie Gym OC. The name of the gym is Gracie Gym OC. So pretty much, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook. You know, we are on the social media like everyone else. And yeah, please, everyone is welcome to check the website. There's a lot of information, pictures. There's a couple YouTube videos.
Yeah, I seen the one for your opening day where you have all those people. It's kind of cool because it's like a
time lapse.
Yeah, it's a time lapse, but it's the whole video and you guys put the plastic on.
I just had this quick idea. You know what? I'm just gonna put a little camera here on top of this wall and record everything, and let's see how it looks like. Let's see how's the day, and then I fast forward and it was like a 1 minute video and put it on YouTube. It looks good, huh?
Yeah, it looks really good. The only problem I had with it was I was watching it when I was cutting weight for a tournament, so I was getting real hungry because everybody was eating in there.
Yeah.
I was man, this is the wrong video to watch. I'm hungry.
Yeah. But it was a great day. We had actually a little over 200 people that day.
Yeah,
I was impressed with it.
It looked good. The video looked great, though. Like, the time-lapse was perfect. The way you set that up, it was perfect because you just...
Yeah.
I like you see all the people walking around and, hey, everybody get ready for a picture. And then the picture's over. And then everybody goes back to doing what they were doing.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Man.
Yeah.
That was a good day.
I mean, look cool. So what's the connection between the Gracie Elite team? That just seems something like, is that a new team?
Yeah, the Gracie Elite team is what happened is that, I mean, the Gracie family is huge, right? So there's a lot of Gracies around there, and it's really hard for us to get together, like, a lot, because we all spread, you know, in the USA, in Brazil, and some other countries around the world. So there's a lot of schools, like there's Half Gracie, Hansel Gracie, Helion Gracie, Ryan Gracie, and other guys too that, you know, they have like Gordo Jiu-Jitsu. So all these guys, Evolve MMA, and I don't know, there's a Fabio Paul. There's a lot of guys that they pretty much came from almost the same place. And today they have their own gyms, their own business. And when they go to compete, they compete, represent their schools. But then I think they decided, you know what, let's just get together and see if we can make a strong team to be able to score points in the tournament.
Okay.
I think that's where came the idea of Gracie Elite.
What was it before Gracie Elite?
You know, a lot of people used to compete from Gracie Barra.
Okay.
You know, I think a couple of years ago. But then everybody started going your own way and open your own academies and stop competing for Gracie Barra. And then that's why, you know. So a lot of guys that actually are in Gracie Lee today, they used to compete for Gracie Barra a couple years ago.
Okay, so what happened? Did they just split up into different teams now?
I think it's, I believe it's because of, I don't know, I guess Gracie Barra was taking one direction and everybody else wanted to take another direction. And then, you know, going to a different path.
Mm-hmm.
Or people were not happy about what was going on in Gracie Barra, you know. So I guess that's why, you know, some guys started leaving Gracie Barra. And, you know, it's hard because every team, like, there's a lot of big teams there, like Alliance and everything. Every big team, you know, started having, it's tough because whoever is the person who takes care, like the director or whatever, you know, sometimes he takes bad decisions, right? So the director of a corporation or anything, if he takes a bad decision, you know, everybody maybe is not happy with that decision.
Right, so, and it affects a lot of people, yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely, no, definitely. And I think maybe they took the wrong decisions and they lost a lot of good people.
Okay, that makes sense. Because I know it just like recently, I just started seeing the Gracie Elite name come up at a lot of places and stuff, so.
Yeah, it's something, I don't know where it's going to go, you know, it's something new and it's pretty much family, you know. Gracie, what I like about Gracie Elite is it's family.
Yeah.
You know, like myself, I can speak for myself. I'm Gracie, you know, I always represent my family and I always will. But you see, right now I'm training with Atos Camp, which if you think about it, it's a different team, right?
Right.
So, but it's different. Like, I will never stop representing my family because of my last name. It's in my blood. Right. So even if I train there, I will still represent my family. If I fight for Atos or for any other team, I'm still representing my family in a way, right?
Right, right.
So it's, so I can speak for myself, you know. I don't know about other people, but I can only speak for myself.
Well, you know, I wish there was more of that because obviously, and I always tell people this, but the jiu-jitsu community is not as big as we think it is. I think we think it's big because we do it every day.
Yeah.
Right, but like you can go down the street and say like, hey, do you know what Brazilian jiu-jitsu is? And some people are like, what's that, yeah, you know?
Yeah. Well, some people think it's UFC.
Yeah.
Right. They made that connection there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's like, I wish it was more team. I mean, that's good to have teams for competition and stuff, but I think to share the information is always beneficial to everybody, right?
Yeah, I think the team is nice and everything, but most importantly, especially for the athlete, you know, the athlete's there, he wants to compete, he wants to be a champion, right?
Right.
Of course, the team is important. The team helps him train and everything, but the athlete has to think about himself. So it's his dream. So he wants to be a world champion. You know, he has to follow his dream. So I think that the sport's growing a lot. Like jiu-jitsu, it's really growing because of UFC, for sure. Because of Royce, you know, they started the whole...
Well, they set it up,
spreading, and I believe a lot of people know his name, Royce. Everybody thinks about, when they think about the Gracie family, especially in California, they think about Royce.
Right, right. Because they had that gym in Torrance and everything else, yeah.
Torrance Boulevard.
Yeah. But the UFC, showed the world that what was jiu-jitsu. Nobody knew before.
Right.
And now it's getting bigger, but of course it's not television, so you know it's a sport, it's something that the community, like you said, it's not very big, like let's say the community of UFC, which is like almost everyone know what is UFC.
Yeah. Right, because it's got a bunch of different fans and stuff.
But
so.
I believe people now are recognizing jiu-jitsu. People, jiu-jitsu, if they don't know, they at least know something on the ground, right? Like submissions, chokes.
Yeah.
People started recognizing more and more.
Especially in California, it's different. But I'm sure we can go someplace in Kentucky or Wisconsin.
Yeah, I don't think they know very well.
How is it in Texas? Because you said is it your uncle?
Yeah, my uncle. Texas is getting big, actually. There's a lot of academies opening there. So it's getting more popular there.
Yeah, because I know your website has, I think it had a location in Florida.
Yeah, there's my cousin's opening a Gracie gym in Dallas, Plano.
Yeah, okay, that's what it was.
Yeah, if anybody's around there, please go check out their website too. You know, it's graciegymplano.com. Actually, graciegymtexas.com. And yeah, so she's opening there. My uncle Hillon, like I said, he has a school in Houston, hillongracie.com. And he also has a school in Miami. But Texas is growing. There's a lot of schools opening there. Not just like their schools, but other schools with other great guys teaching too.
Yeah, because I know you were saying also, I think your website says it's your school is one of the few that's run by a Gracie.
Yeah. Yeah, we make sure that we want people to know that our school is, when you go there, it's the kind of environment that it came from the family. So we follow the Gracie philosophy, you know, because I'm there and everybody who's there, he grew up with the family, you know, and so.
But is the philosophy more like where jiu-jitsu was more for a combative self-defense style, or it's also for sport, or you do both?
We do both. I think it's important that jiu-jitsu is evolving, right? Day by day, you see in the tournaments that the techniques are there's always new and newer techniques, but we cannot forget about the self-defense part of jiu-jitsu too, right? Like the self-defense that it was pretty much developed by my family. So that I like to make sure that we pass that to the students. So I want to teach that to the students, not just the techniques for like competition techniques, but also the self-defense part. So we mix it up with that. We teach both. So sometimes it's more like self-defense, sometimes more, you know, competition techniques. So it's to make sure the student will be well-rounded.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're standing class, you probably do a couple techniques, and then do you guys roll after class, or do you have a segregated class, or how does it work?
Well, it depends of the level of the students. No, if the student is a beginner student, I would say he doesn't roll much. He practices specific training. So he does use the techniques he learned with some resistance, so he can feel the technique with the actual resistance, but he cannot just roll if he's a new student. So he has to wait for a couple first month, and then he can start rolling.
Right.
So yeah, you know, and but we definitely know as you get better, like just let's say you go to a boxing gym in the first day, they're going to put you to spar. What are you going to do? You're just going to go crazy and start, you don't even know how to punch. You're going to
get hurt. Spar, yeah, right.
Exactly. So you need to first do like the 1, 2, 3, you know how to throw a jab, a straight punch, a hook, you know, uppercut. Once you know all these combinations, and then you can go ahead and start sparring, right?
Right.
So it's same thing in jiu-jitsu. You know, you got to first do the first step, have the base, and then you can spar.
It's funny you say it like that because most people don't, but that makes a lot of sense, right? Like,
fundamentals is key, man. Fundamentals is key.
Yeah, you don't just go into a boxing gym and start boxing, right?
I've been at some gyms just throwing in the ring. I'm like, whoa.
that would definitely make you a tough guy, right?
Yes.
Or that, or you'll never come back.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the problem people want to do that, and then they can't, you know, they get injured and they don't come back.
They don't come back.
Right. And, you know, you lose a student, that's, you know, some money you potentially had to keep and, you know, help grow your legacy and stuff like that. You don't want people to get injured either.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, one of the reasons I moved over to with Honus is because of that, because, you know, he owns it, he trains, he teaches, so he's there. As opposed to where I came from, you know, it was somebody owned it, but they didn't train, and they would bring somebody else in every 6 months to train, right. And it was like, you never really got to know who's teaching you stuff, you know, or when they did, then they would leave. You know, and you're like, okay, now I have to start all over again. And you know, there is a certain teaching style, right, that you're good with or not.
Right.
And if there's that continuous turnover, then it doesn't feel like a family.
Yeah.
You know? It feels like just a crazy uncle that's coming every 6 months.
Or you're just giving your money for nothing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, most people feel comfortable paying for somewhere they like to go and they like the people and the vibe's good.
Yeah. And, you know, and if you build that relationship with the person who's actually training you, you know, who's teaching you that stuff, it's that much better. So,
well, when people hear that a Gracie's going to teach you, you know, I mean, they want to, that's the foundation.
Well, you know, not only that, but like Honus, like we were just talking about it earlier, how in the last couple of months you've been so busy. You had a couple of seminars. I think you said you had Igor Gracie over there and a couple other things going.
We had a lot going on the last 2 months of the school. We had a special class on Valentine's Day with my cousin Rodrigo Gracie. We had a special class with my cousin Roger Gracie, you know, which I didn't even announce much because I knew it was going to be packed.
It has been packed.
You know, and I didn't announce it. It was still packed. The class. Mm-hmm. And then we had a seminar with Igor Gracie, you know, which was like really great too. And so all these, there was like in a short time of 2 months only. So was a lot actually. So
and people, if they go on your website, they could have got, I know that's where I seen the Igor Gracie seminar. So anybody from any school can come to your seminars right?
The seminar is open for everyone. You know, my students from my school, they have, let's say, the advantage because if they are from my school, they have a discount. But the seminar is open for everyone.
Right. You know? Okay.
So, yeah, anybody from any other school can come to every time I have a seminar, they can definitely come and do the seminar. You know, the seminar, I believe that, especially because it's a new school too, I wouldn't, and even if, you know, after 1 or 2 or 3 years the school is open, I would never like say that all this special event will be only for my students, but also for anybody who is interested in taking a class with Igor, with Roger, or whoever comes to teach a seminar.
Huh, okay.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's something that I also think that people like that. They see like, it's really like part of the family. You know, it's a real Gracie school. It's not doesn't just have the name, but it's a real Gracie school because, right. you know, what happened is that maybe you have a school, you have the name, but where is the connection from the family, right?
Right.
Right.
Oh, it has the Gracie name, but so what? It doesn't say, it doesn't, because it has the Gracie name, it doesn't mean he has a connection. Maybe they should have never met a Gracie in his life, right?
Right.
So I think that people...
There is that.
Yeah, that happens, you know.
Maybe yeah. maybe it was a Garcia, and the guy just the guy was dyslexic, and he put Gracie yeah. instead yeah. of Garcia.
But you know, right. I feel like I think the students are very happy because they see every month there's a new Gracie coming in, you know, and everything. And since I'm not like the best in the family, not by far, like not even close to be one of the best in the family. No, I still have a lot to do in jiu-jitsu. But the students they like the person who you are, right? They like if you care about the students, and every month they see my cousins coming in, so. I think that makes them very happy.
Yeah, and you have a lot of students over there. I know. Yeah, how big is the mat space over there?
Mat space, I would say, is about like 1,000 square feet. It's not okay. very big, you know, about like a little over 1,000 square feet. But you know, what we do, we divide by classes. So
yeah.
if you start getting too packed, we just add another class and everything. But I have plans on, I have space to make the mat bigger, so that will not be a problem.
Then when you get there, yeah.
And then it's also new mats too. Do you know how great it is to roll on new mats?
Oh yeah.
What do you got? What kind of mats you got over there?
We have zebra mats.
Oh, those are nice.
I like the zebra mats.
Yeah.
In my opinion, are the best mats out there right now. So they are the mats that the federation, the Jiu-Jitsu Federation, used for the tournament. So
right.
Why not have the same mats in the academy?
Yeah. Yeah. The zebra mats over there, and I know we were talking about. I think you got Adidas geese, or I know you always wearing Adidas geese.
Yeah, right now I'm being sponsored by Adidas, and so I like that geese a lot. It's a really good gi, a strong gi, you know, hard for my opponent to make grips. So it's good. I think it helps me too. And yeah, Adidas, Adidas always have the best.
Right, right. They got a lot.
What, they got
money.
A big thick lapel, or what? What's wrong? What can
they do? They do. They. It looks like I don't know, people. Some people like, oh, it's like a judo gi. It is a jiu-jitsu gi, but you can say it looks like a judo gi because it's a very, it's a thick gi.
Oh, it is.
They have different gis. No, it depends. The one I like to use for competition, it's pretty thick, but they have other gis too. So if you like lighter gis, they have all different styles.
So you ever, speaking of competitions, because I know you do them a lot, you ever get nervous?
Competition?
Yeah.
Of course, very nervous.
I ask you this because I get nervous too, right? And people tell me I'm crazy. Like, oh, you shouldn't be nervous. And there's only two things you can happen. You can win or you can lose, right?
I get nervous, but I'm not afraid like to lose. I know if it happens, sometimes you lose. So you learn with the mistakes you did, you know? But yes, I get nervous.
Do you find it more pressure competing now that you own a school? Is it a little more pressure because you're students and all that,
To be honest, no, because I've always teaching, so I always had students following me.
What about being a Gracie? Do you find like, you know?
Yeah, there is a pressure, of course. When you're a Gracie, people expect you to go there and do good and beat everyone or whatever. So you win. And if you lose, the guy who beat you, he's like, oh, I beat a Gracie and whatever. So
right.
Yeah, it's like
everybody's Sakuraba all of a sudden, right?
Yeah. But you know, today, like, the sports is big, everyone is good. You cannot just, oh, just because I'm a Gracie, I have to be the best. Of course, I try to train a lot and be really good, but it happens, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Not because I'm a Gracie, I will be the best one. I have to train to be the best one.
But you also have to, I mean, besides just the name, you have to be able to lose and lose gracefully. And, you know, you carry that family history with you where, like, you got to be respectful and all the other stuff as well, which I think is important.
I think it's like, if I'm not prepared and I go compete and let's say I lose, I think that's kind of disrespectful with my family. Because, you know, a lot of things that probably happened in my life and I own that to my grandfather, to my uncles who helped build the legacy, right? So if I just go there unprepared and I just want to compete unprepared, I think that's kind of disrespectful. So I try to always compete when I'm prepared, you know, and I'm sure they don't care if I lose. No, if I feel prepared and I go there, even if I lose on the first match, but I knew I was training and I had like everything in my hands to win, I'm not really like sad, or I think that's okay, you know, that's acceptable.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes it happens. Sometimes your first fight could be the toughest fight. The guy you find the first fight, maybe he wins everything. So you never know what can happen in a tournament. Right. You know, there's time limit. There's, you know, a bunch of things involved. But I always try to compete when I'm really feeling prepared. You know, and actually right now, because I'm training with these guys, you know, with Andre Galvão, the Mendes brothers. And they're very good. They're the best, the best athletes out there. You know, if you see that. So I'm feeling very prepared. So probably that might be my best performance. I don't know. You know, we'll see, but it will probably be my, I'll probably be in my best shape.
What weight class do you do?
I'm fighting middleweight.
Middleweight, okay.
Middleweight class, yeah.
Okay. Do you have to cut a lot of weight or
No, I'm good. That's one of the things. I don't like cutting weight.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, some of us, that's how we live on. Yeah. Cutting weight all the time.
Especially for jiu-jitsu because you weigh and you fight.
Yeah.
Not like MMA, you weigh the day before. So
you're right.
If you cannot cut that much weight, you know, there's a limit. You can cut maybe a couple pounds, like maybe 10 pounds, but anything over there, you feel weak.
So,
yeah.
I look at Krill because I know Krill.
I used to cut like 20 pounds.
That's 20 my pounds? Yeah. 20 pounds is my limit.
Yeah.
20 pounds, 6 weeks, done.
Yeah. 20 pounds I used to cut every week.
But you know what? It's getting to a point where I can't do 20 pounds anymore. Maybe I can still do it, but I'm getting to a point where I don't want to do it, you know?
You know, it's almost like what Hona says as well, though. But like when you cut too much weight, you're like mentally, you're not in it. Like you don't flow smoothly. You're just like,
because you're stressed about that weight.
Yeah, you're like, all right, I made weight. And then you're not thinking about just having, you know, going out there and executing your game for jiu-jitsu. You're just like,
yeah, you know, and I think, okay, I will cut weight to go to lightweight. Let's say, what's the difference? Lightweight and middleweight. It's not much big difference. The guys are just as strong, you know? Yeah. So I don't think it makes a big difference. I think in MMA doesn't make a lot of a much bigger difference. You know?
Well, all those guys in MMA are probably cutting 20 pounds.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah, because if you think about it, let's say the guys who fight a lightweight, like in UFC, 155, right?
Yeah.
They walk around at least 170. But the guys who fight at 170, they walk around 200 sometimes. So, okay, so I weigh right now like 175, 178, you know, and okay, I will have to put a lot of pounds to fight 170. But, you know, so it's just easier to, it makes sense. Okay, I have to cut weight to 155. So I will lose a lot of pounds, but it makes sense because that is a big difference from other division. Mm-hmm. But in jiu-jitsu, I think the difference is smaller.
Yeah, you wearing that Adidas gi when you weigh in? Because how much does that gi weigh? 4 or 5 pounds? 6 pounds? 12 pounds?
Yeah, I wear the Adidas gi. Yeah, it weighs a little. The one that I'm going to be fighting, it is a little heavy. So, you know, maybe I will have to cut like, okay, 2 pounds.
Yeah, but something minor. Yeah, okay.
2 pounds.
2 pounds. 2 pounds.
No, you know what? But part of this whole thing is kind of, you know, with jiu-jitsu and stuff, we talk about all the training that we do and whatnot. But at the same time, we have to look at our diet, you know, and how many of us, I know, you know, I struggle with my diet all the time.
Yeah, we were just talking about diet on the way up here.
Yeah. Everybody struggles with diet.
Yeah, you know, everybody struggles with diet. And if you get into a nice diet, I know there's a Gracie diet.
Gracie diet.
You know,
is that what you do?
I do a Gracie diet, yeah, of course.
You know,
I do with some adaptations.
Like some acai with French fries.
Yeah, not that. Not
sweet
not
potato fries. Sweet potato fries.
Sweet potato fries.
But I do some change, but it's minor changes. I would say I follow 90% of the Gracie diet. In the 10%, it's the small change I do. You know, because I think, for an athlete, maybe a couple changes would be necessary. But yeah, I do follow the Gracie diet for sure.
You know, and at the end of the day, it's just about being healthy, you know, living a healthy life. And I know a lot of times, I mean, we train on the mat, you know, hours on end and whatever, and then we go out and we kind of blow it on a burger or whatnot. And and in reality, if you kind of think about it, maybe we shouldn't, you know. If we're going to do that, why even train, you know?
Yeah. It's just too late. You know, I already ate it. You know?
Yeah. It's just very, we always talk about, it's very expensive to eat healthy, though.
You know what? It really isn't.
Dude, it is. Look, I tell people like this. If I had $5, I can go to Jack in the Box and get like 13 fries and a soda and a hamburger, but I can't even buy a good healthy sandwich for $5.
Dude, $5 can get you some fruit, some good fruit.
Right? Where? Not a whole paycheck.
Come on now, $5.
Go to Whole Foods. You might get half an apple.
But you know what? You may save some money now eating like in a fast food or something, but you're gonna have to spend later on medicine and you know, all these in the disease you might get from that. So I think it's the cheap that becomes expensive in the future. So maybe eating healthy, it's expensive now, but you will save a lot of money in the future.
Yeah. You know what? I agree with that. And I also agree. You know, I never thought about that, but you have $5. Yeah, you probably go get a couple bananas.
Yeah, a couple bananas. You know, you get some water, you get an apple. Yeah. And
that's $5.
Yeah, not really. What also happens actually is we tend to, you know, how many times do we eat a day? You know, you eat once, twice, maybe, you know, three times if you're lucky. Six times. Now, if you're eating these six meals, then you're not eating a burger and a fries six times. You know, you're eating that smaller, that $5 portion, you know?
Yeah. Usually when I'm like trying to watch my weight, I'm typically eating like 300 to 500 calorie meals at a time.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's kind of, you know, but then you said something very interesting. You said when I'm watching my weight. And in reality, we should watch our weight all the time.
No, well, I watch my weight, obviously, because, dude, like I tell people this, like a year ago, I was like 205 pounds, right?
I saw that. I mean, I was like, wow, you really cut a lot of weight.
And I got to a point where I was just like, man, you know what? And it wasn't really cutting weight. It was more like I decided I wanted to eat healthy.
Yeah.
You know, so.
You know, and it's, I mean, a lot of time, I mean, I know Honus does this, and I, you know, go to tournaments or whatever, and you do as well. But a lot of people train jiu-jitsu just for the health aspect of it, right?
Right, right.
And you know, with the Gracie diet, with some CrossFit training, with some extra training, you know, even with playing basketball with your son or your daughter or whatever, just kind of getting out there and just kind of being active, then you're living that healthy lifestyle. And that's what we should really all kind of strive to at the end of the day, to be honest.
I mean, I tell people, like, no matter what kind of diet or regimen or whatever, like, if you don't want to do it, no one can make you do
it. Right, right.
So mentally, you have to say, like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go in there and I'm gonna get on a diet. No, I'm not even a diet, because it's like a lifestyle change, right?
Right,
you just,
right.
All right, I'm gonna eat healthier. And you can't just go cold turkey because it doesn't work.
No, you got to take little baby steps. I mean, kind of, you know, you get on the mat. You can't get out there and start boxing, right?
Like everything you do, you know, you cannot be just radical and just change everything. You got to go slowly, you know, make a few changes a little bit. Maybe you watch your meals and change one of the meals and, you know, start going slowly. And then you feel better. That will become part of your daily, you know.
Yeah,
I look back now and I was like, wow, like, I used to carry 30 extra pounds. That's crazy, yeah. Right?
I used to carry 30 extra pounds.
And you look in the mirror and you think you look good. I was like, 30 pounds ago, what?
Yeah. No, you know what's actually interesting? One time I went to another jiu-jitsu place and kind of rolled with them. And, you know, and the guy who I was rolling with smelled like he just had a cigarette, like, before he got on the mat. And I'm going, how can you do that? How can you go out and smoke a pack, you know, smokes and then kind of get on the mat and kind of... Doesn't one hurt the other, you know? It just didn't make sense to me.
Hey, I was at a tournament with a guy, no kidding, dude, like 8-pack abs, strong as sin, but he smelled like smoke.
It's like,
I'm like, dude, what's in that cigarette? I mean, 8-pack, like, I was like, wow, dude. Like,
you know, you're pretty legit.
I was like, okay, bud.
So when are you going to come down to Honus? Come. I've been inviting you to roll with me for like a year.
I don't know. When are you going to be there, Honus?
Yeah,
give Robert the key.
Yeah, no, you guys are welcome to go there anytime. But as I said, no, I'll be in San Diego. I'll stay there until the Worlds. So after the Worlds, I'll be there in June. So the Worlds are first week of June, last week of May, and first week of June. So after that,
who's teaching classes over there now while you're getting ready to compete?
There's a couple different instructors there. There's Coach Jeff, Coach Yuri. There's you know, so there's good guys there.
Yeah, teaching. Full staff. Yeah.
Yeah. My cousin was there too. Kieran was teaching there a couple classes, and so, yeah, you know.
So do you find it? I mean, we were just talking about time management, because obviously, when you're training to compete and you have a bunch of students that compete, it's kind of hard to go to a tournament and coach and then go compete.
Yeah. Well, right now I actually don't have many students competing. You know, since it's a new school, most of my students are white belts.
Okay.
So they're just starting, so they won't be competing for the first, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 months. But the ones that I want to compete, for sure, I will always try to be there, you know, to coach them, because I know how important it is to have a coach there. Not just, you know, the guy trained, so it's not going to make much difference, but just for the mental aspect.
Yeah, the confidence. Support, mm-hmm. Just being there for your...
Yeah, sometimes it's not even a coach. Just having some people from your team there is kind of cool, right?
Like, yeah. Let's say when I compete, right, if one of my uncles are there, he doesn't have to say anything. Just the fact that I know he's there watching me, it makes me don't want to lose. So maybe I fight a little better, no? With a little bit more extra
more support. More support from all teammates.
You know, and I told Krell this and stuff, that that's why I left my old dojo, because mm-hmm. I competed 5 times and nobody was there.
Sure, you're on, huh?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I mean, nobody's there. So when I went to Honus, now I've been doing some other stuff, so I haven't been able to train the past month and stuff, and that's why I'm not going to do the Worlds this year. But, you know, one day I hope... You know, he'll be in my corner, at least yelling at me.
No, definitely.
No, Robert, don't do that. Don't give him your neck.
Yeah, I know. That's the story of my life.
No, Robert would do good. No, he's I'm sure he would do fine. That's one of the things I don't like. I try to give, let's say, when one of my students are fighting, I try not to speak like too much about techniques, because he already trained all the techniques. You know what he's supposed to do. I try just to tell pretty much the time and... If I see, like, watch for, like, a sweep or something that the guy in the body is preparing, maybe he didn't notice, something like that. But I don't try to tell him what to do.
I like that style of coaching better, because I always tell people, it's everything you do before you get on the mat that's going to win you the match, right? So there's nothing you're going to learn when you're on the mat in a match that's going to change anything. But like, if the guys are like, hey, watch it, he's coming out the back, then at least you know to put your base back down and shift your base.
I tell myself, when I'm fighting, everybody's screaming, you know, I don't even hear. It's funny because it's kind of, I think your mind automatically focus on whatever is best for you. So I only hear like the time. I only hear like, you know, the main things that actually I need to hear. It's funny. Yeah. But all the other things, I just like people like, people talk, you know, really, I don't really pay attention to that.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy like what you do here. Yeah. I agree though, because sometimes like I can hear my coach like yelling one or two things like, put your head down to pass, you know? So you like put your head down, or you hear the other guy's coach saying, watch out, he's going to grab your leg. And you're like, oh, come on, man. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
Or you're like, oh, put in the hook. And then, you know, the guy already knows you're going to put in the hook.
Yeah.
Like, come on now. By the way, congratulations on your competition.
Thanks.
Your win.
I wore my medal today. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we could see it. We showed it off already since we walked.
Walking around downtown LA with a jiu-jitsu medal.
You got more medal than I did last year.
No. So
you're looking good.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. I try.
Yeah, please take it easy on me when you come down.
Oh, come please. You're gonna,
I don't want to.
You're gonna beat me up. I'm an old man.
I don't want to get embarrassed for my students.
No,
you gotta take it easy.
No, there's always respect on someone else's mat first.
Of course. Okay. So you let me beat you.
Well, yeah,
so
yeah. I'll look good. You beat me up, I'll learn something, and then we're even, right? You show me a secret Gracie move, and then we're good.
All right.
Because every school's got different moves and stuff.
Yeah. You know, one thing I like about Honus and stuff is that he actually teaches a lot of takedowns.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I like takedowns.
Yeah. I like too.
You'd like them too?
Yeah.
I mean, so there's not this very, you know, I mean, you know, we all know who we're talking about and stuff, the whole, you know, class one, class two, class three, and that's all you get or whatever.
Yeah.
With going to like, you know, another academy like this, you get that stuff, but you also get that extra, oh, by the way, there's also this throw that, you know, that you could do this way, or there's this movement that you can do this way. That's kind of, it's not structured into that curricula, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Yeah, because the fight starts standing up. So
yeah,
if you have a good takedown, you know, you have advantage. You already start with 2 points.
So do all you guys start like on your feet, or have you?
No. The sparring usually goes on the knees. Because the sparring that starts standing up is a little bit more aggressive, right?
Yeah.
Right. The chance of injury is a little higher.
Yeah.
Especially if there's a lot of people.
But I like to just teach, you know, so they know a couple takedowns, you know, and then. You know, in the future, they can always practice and spar. But the sparring stand up, you got to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, you're right. It's very aggressive. It's very different because changes the whole dynamic.
Yeah, but if you don't know it, or if you don't understand it, or you've never seen
you
it.
Train
and,
that.
Yeah, and then you come up against somebody that's what they do. Man, you get in trouble real quick.
Yeah. I mean, it's 2 points for a takedown, right?
Yeah, well, two.
Yeah.
Well, first you got to land.
No, dude. Like even if you grab the guy and you attempt a takedown and he tries to pull guard, you still get 2 points because you initiate a takedown.
Yeah. If you really start the move, you know, and then it's like you start before he start pulling. So, you get the points.
Yeah, you get the points. Eh? Sometimes I even like, you know, you fall in the little, in their half guard and then you get two more points for passing.
that's Krail for you. I've known Krail for a while, so I know I know his all his tricks.
Hey, Honus, let me ask you a question about when you were competing when you were younger.
Yeah.
You're probably in Brazil, right?
Yes, in Brazil.
Yeah. Do they have time limits for?
There was a. I don't remember what was the time limit when you were a kid, but it was a short time, probably like 4 minutes, 5 minutes.
Oh, okay, so pretty good. No, because I, you know,
quick, yeah. But actually, no, it's funny because I was doing pretty good when I was young. Probably better than I do today because my fights would last like 30 seconds, you know. So, you know, and not, but now when I guess one of the things I felt when you get older that you start getting the challenges start getting more tough. So
older, what are you, 22?
Yeah, 25. I wish. Right? Thank you.
Quarter of a century. Wow. Yeah, I was just wondering because you know how like. Rose Gracie and Javi Vasquez had the whole Gracie National tournament with no time limit.
Yes.
You know, it's just submission only, no points.
That's pretty interesting, you know, I think because a lot of the thing what happens, like say, what is the idea of jiu-jitsu, right? The idea of jiu-jitsu is what? To learn how to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Against, doesn't matter how big your opponent is. So, it with a time limit, you know, it's tough for you to attack like a bigger guy, because the guy is stronger than you, heavier than you, strong, you know. So you have to wait for him to get tired. So that I like that idea, because then you can just manage the fight and just defend yourself, defend until he gets tired. Once he gets tired, that's your chance. Now it's your turn to attack him, you know. Mm-hmm. Because it's easier for a bigger guy to get tired like faster than a smaller guy. And that's why I believe every guy who's like not too big, lighter, usually becomes more technical, because everyone in the gym is bigger than him. Everyone's attacking him. So he needs to work on his defense more than the big guy, mm-hmm. right? So he becomes, usually the small guys have a better defense than big guys.
Yeah, and you learn to conserve energy doing that, because the big guy, you know, you little movements and staying tight and wait until the big guy gets tired.
Yeah, so that's pretty interesting, you know, like have a tournament which is very different from all the other tournaments. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, they just did it. It was like 10 minutes, no points, submission only.
Yeah. And after it's kind of like Abu Dhabi rules. Abu Dhabi, the first 10 minutes, you have no points, true.
Yeah, and then after 10 minutes, if it's 0-0, both people get disqualified.
Yeah, right. I saw that. I want to do that.
That's actually pretty cool. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. And then I know last week we had Goker in here.
Goker's that style. I mean, although it's a little bit complicated, but it's an actually interesting
style. His tournament style. I think it's a 5-minute round. And the first two minutes, no points. And then the next 2 minutes, first 3 minutes, no points. The next 2 minutes, you get a point, like if you progress forward, but if you start stalling, they start taking points away. And then if it's tie after 5, then the first takedown wins.
Oh, wow. So I really love the whole first takedown, you know, opponent's butt on the mat, you win. I'm like, that's my kind of tournament.
That's what he said. That's right.
I was listening last
week. Yeah, first guy, the guy who, first person whose butt touches the mat, lose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So something different.
But you know, it's that's what it's all about, though. It's all about kind of progressing the sport, right. the you know, whatever. And so it's about always trying out new different techniques, new different ways to do a tournament, and, you know, only takedowns or whatever. And
yeah. So like when you started training, like what's your philosophy on technique? Like, do you like to train certain moves over and over and over? You think that helps people, or like?
I think it does. But you know, the best thing is just to train and try after a certain level. You know, a lot of things you develop by yourself. So I would say just training, and get yourself in the situation that you don't feel comfortable. Those are the situations you have to work more.
Right.
So try to slowly start feeling comfortable. So I don't know, maybe you can do specific trainings in those positions, or you can just, when you're training, sparring, you can let your opponent get to those positions more often. You know, it doesn't mean just because you're sparring, you cannot lose. Training is training, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're there to train. You have to use your training partner in your favor to help you get better. So it doesn't matter if it taps you or not. What matters is how much better you get. So sometimes people have too much ego and they think that they don't want to lose to a training partner. Oh no, this guy cannot beat me. No, they keep scoring points in their mind, and I don't like doing that. I don't even remember like how many points or whatever, how many times I got sweep. Sometimes I don't even remember who I spar with after the sparring session. You know, you spar with so many guys. Let's say I spar with 8 people that day. I don't remember. I just remember usually the last one or the other 2 ones. A lot of times, you know, I'm so focused on the techniques that you forget the people you train with. And I think that's the best thing, you know, try to get the best train possible for you. You know, it doesn't matter if he taps you or if you tap him. What matters is how much better you got after that training.
Yeah, because sometimes, like, you watch, like, the top guys, the brown and the black belts, and their matches are just very controlled, very small movements.
Yeah, because, yeah, on a tournament, what happened? Any little mistake you do, the guy will sweep you, right? Or he'll tap you, or he'll take your back. So we gotta be very careful, you know? So it's a lot of weight control, like balancing your weight. You know, people don't see much but the guy doesn't mean because they don't do anything that they're just relaxing there. They're actually not. They might be doing a lot of strength, right? The guy on the bottom might be pushing the guy up, and the guy on top might be pushing down.
Right.
But you don't know because they're stuck in the position.
Right.
But they're getting tired. The more the time they spend there, they're getting tired. Because if they do a big move, they might, boom, get sweep right away. So you got to be really, you know, be careful with that. But when you're in the academy, you don't have to have that, you know, tense control, and you can relax more because you're training. You can practice more the positions, you know. So let's say, I'll give an example. You have a really tough guard. Nobody passed your guard. So you never practice the side mount escape or the mount escape, right?
Because nobody can get there?
Yeah.
You know, understand? You know, I'm not saying everybody passed my guard. I'm not saying they don't pass.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, no, it's this kind of idea, I think, is the best way for you to train.
So in training, how much, let's say, how much strength versus...
Of course, no. You have to do strength. If you're ready for a tournament, you cannot just go relax. You have to do strength, right? Because you need to work your cardio and your strength. You have to do. But not like crazy, you know. Like some positions, not like just give your life to don't let the guy pass your guard. That's not the idea. The idea is try to do things with the less strength possible. That means your technique's really good. Combine technique with strength.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Good information. All right, man. Looks like we're getting ready to wrap up here. It's about 3 minutes left. So before we go, I just wanted to, you know, tell you thank you for coming by.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. No, thank you. No,
yeah, both of you guys.
I really appreciate your invitation. You know, Robert, you know, all you guys. And it's really good for me to be here. And I hope to come back.
Yeah, and then maybe you can just want to plug your website again, and maybe you can tell me the phone number if they want to call. And
yeah,
you do free, like a couple days free, or do anything free if you got somebody wants to try out? Or
yeah, we usually offer a free introductory class.
Okay,
you know, anybody can come and try a free class, and yeah. So the website is gracieoc.com. So GRACIEOC.com. The phone number of the school is 714-886-8490.
Okay.
And that's located in
Westminster. It's really easy to get there. It's right off the freeway 22. So almost 22 with the 405. So it's very easy to get there. It's in front of the freeway. So if you drive on the 22, you will actually see the academy.
Yeah, I've seen the map on the webpage. It's pretty close to the freeway.
Easy access.
Yeah, and then it looks like you got a Facebook page too, Gracie Gym OC on Facebook.
Yes, please like us on Facebook, so you'll be always updated with new stuff and news about seminars, about events, and about the school, see pictures of and anything.
Okay, cool. Perfect. And then, Robert, I know you're a big CrossFit guy. And
yeah, I am. I love CrossFit. We'll do CrossFit till the day I die. Same thing with jiu-jitsu. So, you know, they kind of go hand in hand. I encourage everybody out there who's listening, kind of go check out a CrossFit. Go do a class, you know.
Yeah, well, one of these days, I know you've been doing it for a while. So when you get a gym up and running and you want to throw some tires around, we'll get you back on here and have a plug that out.
I'll come get my tires here and we can throw them anytime you want.
But. Downtown LA, we can probably find some outside.
There's a parking lot right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure you can get some tires somewhere.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're still in my car.
Yeah.
So you want to say also, I have also a Twitter, you know, my own Twitter. So if anybody interested in getting updates about like my training or, you know, anything about my life, you can follow me on Twitter at ronisgracie.com.
Okay, cool.
At ronisgracie.
Forget about that. And that's Honis, R-O-N-I-S.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's actually pronounced in Brazil as Honis.
Yeah.
No, sounds like H. The R was the first letter, but it's Ronis. Yeah, in America, it's Ronis Gracie.
So do you care if people call you Ronis or Honis?
No, I don't care at all. Yeah,
okay. Cool. Well, I'm going to call you Honis.
Okay, well, even better.
Yeah, all right. Well, I appreciate you guys coming down, and we'll have this available for download pretty soon. So anything you got to say, Jonathan?
No, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Cool.
Robert, thanks for coming by.
Thank you guys for having us.
All right. All right. Matt Time Radio, Downtown LA, SkidLowStudios.com. Thanks, guys.